Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. I am going to be spending several weeks with you journeying all the way through the tarot. And together, we're going to go through every single card, and I'm going to share with you my perspective on each card. This is definitely going to take us many weeks to cover, but I'm really committed to doing this, and I've had a number of people ask me to do this, ask me to teach a class, and it's such a huge, huge commitment, and I really hope that what I'm sharing with you throughout the next, probably not just weeks, but maybe a month or two, I hope it helps you understand and learn the tarot and maybe even memorize the meanings of the cards. I do know that the more time I spend researching and analyzing the cards, I definitely learn something new, as I did this past couple of weeks when I was going back through the deck again. I always identify new symbols that I didn't see before, or maybe new positions I didn't see before that carry on throughout the deck. So I really hope that this helps you understand it. Now, I also want to say that there are so many different meanings that we can attach to the tarot. I think, after you work with the tarot for a number of years, you start to develop your relationship with the deck, and then new meanings kind of take hold as well. So what I'm telling you is really just my understanding, my perspective on what I see and how I analyze, but there are hundreds of teachers and there are so many books that you can go to that have meanings as well. So just take what works for you and leave the rest behind. So first, let me tell you about the history of the deck. I'll keep it simple. Tarot decks were created in Italy in the 1430s by adding to the existing four-suited deck that we're familiar with a fifth suit of 21 illustrated cards. And these were called the triumphs. Let's just call it that. And then there was an odd card that was added, which is called the Fool or Il Matto. Despite appearances, the Fool is not the origin of the modern day Joker that we have in our deck today. The Joker was actually invented in the late 19th century. So the triumphs, which we now refer to as the trumps, which you'll probably hear quite often, they each had a different illustration instead of the common suits that we see today. And they were originally unnumbered. So it was really necessary that the people who were using these triumphs, that they remember what order they were supposed to go in, because they didn't have a number, but they do today. So whether or not the triumphs were originally produced independently of the standard playing cards, their function, when they were added to the original packs, they were a superior suit that were superior than the other, the clubs, the basic suit, the hearts, diamonds, and the clubs, and I'm forgetting one. Anyway, they were considered the triumphs, but again, we know them today in the tarot as the trumps. Okay, so the standard modern tarot deck is based on the Venetian or the Piedmontese tarot. It consists of 78 cards divided into two groups. You have the major arcana, which means major keys, and the major arcana has 22 cards. You have the minor arcana, which are the minor keys, which has 56 cards. The cards of the major arcana, and they have pictures, and these represent various forces, characters, virtues, and potential vices. The 22 cards are numbered 1 through 20, numbered 1 through 21. However, there is one card that is 0, considered to be a part of the major arcana, which is the Fool, so it's unnumbered. So the tarot of the major arcana in order are as follows. You have the Magician, the High Priestess, which is also known as the female Pope or the Papess, Empress, Emperor, Pope, Lovers, Chariot, Justice, Hermit, Wheel of Fortune, Strength, Hanged Man, Death, Temperance, Devil, Tower, Star, the Moon, the Sun, Judgment, the World, or sometimes you will see it as the Universe. Now, the 56 cards of the Minor Arcana, they're divided into 4 suits of 14 cards each. The suits are, as we've spoken about in other episodes, they're comparable to the modern playing cards. So you have the Wands, which are today's clubs. You have the Cups, which are today's hearts. The Swords, which are spades. And then you have the Pentacles, which are the diamonds. So each suit has 4 court cards, and these are the people, okay, in each suit in the Minor Arcana. You have the King, the Queen, the Knight, and the Pages. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the major keys. So the cards of the Major Arcana, they refer to spiritual matters and important trends in your life. In my personal opinion, the major keys, they're major life lessons, and these are what I like to call fated lessons that you have to learn this lifetime. And these are the lessons that are not within your own personal control. You have to learn these lessons until you master them. Now, how do you know that this is a lesson that you're going through? Well, if you've been working with the tarot deck, excuse me, and let's say there's one major arcana card that keeps coming out all the time for a year or more, that's a theme. That is a lesson that you have to learn, that you're trying to master. And so your experiences are all going to be in reference to that card. And the tarot is kind of letting you know, like, hey, all right, you know, this is your new cycle and this is what the lessons are going to be about. So this card is going to keep coming out until you learn this. And you kind of don't have, quote unquote, well, I don't want to say you don't have a choice, but the experiences, the situations will continue to come up until you learn it. Okay, so the Minor Arcana. So in the Minor Arcana, the Wands, they deal mainly with business matters and your career. The Cups deal with love. The Swords deal with, I would say, the realm of consciousness and communication. And the Pentacles deal with money and all of the material world. Now, one thing I didn't say at the beginning, I'm going to be using the Rider-Waite deck. So important. There are so many decks out there, and there's so many beautiful decks. But I'm going to use the Rider-Waite Tarot, which was drawn by Pamela Coleman, and it was published in 1909. I've had my Rider-Waite deck for 8 years. It's the one I use all the time, no matter what, even though I have other tarot. It's my tried and true, and I have a solid relationship with this deck. I wanted to tell you at the outset, we're going to be tackling just a few cards a week only, so that you have the time to kind of digest the meanings, and even if you want to try to memorize them, then you have ample time to go back and listen and listen. It's very important that when you have a deck that you begin to build what I call is like a relationship with your deck. And this means you have to practice daily. You don't have to learn all the cards in one day, but I do completely stress that when you do get your deck, not only do you clear it by knocking on it at least 3 times, maybe you can do a prayer over it, but also mix the cards like you would shuffle any other card game that you're playing with cards, and then pick one card and try to learn the meaning of that card. Study it, and you can study it intuitively and attribute a meaning to it that way, or you can do it the tried and true way, the traditional way, where you pick up a book, one book only, please, and learn the meaning for that card. Obviously, the more you work with the deck, you know, the meanings will change over time, the deeper they'll become. You'll notice little things here and there over the years, etc. You will develop your own particular meaning over time, so there's no need to rush here. I also want to say that try to meditate with a card at least once or twice a week, because when you meditate, you will start to have a different understanding of that card. Many years ago, when I was first learning, I definitely meditated with each card, and they would come alive and they would talk to me and they would show me things that I really had no understanding of the deck, but my intention was to really learn it. So I always say meditate at least once or twice a week with one of the cards that you picked. Okay, let's talk about reversals briefly. For many people, the thought of reading 78 cards and knowing all of their meanings upright is daunting enough. And then adding another 78 meanings on top of that is simply too much. You can approach reversals in three ways. So number one, if you have a card that you picked and it's in a reversed position, it can, number one, indicate that there is something blocking or delaying what's happening in the card. So let's say, just as an example, you picked the Lovers and it's reversed. Well, it could mean that, oh, well, there's something that's preventing, you know, that's blocking someone new coming into your life. There's something else going on, and that's what you would look to the other cards for to get more details. Reversals could also mean the exact opposite of the upright message that's in the card. So however you defined it upright, it is the opposite of that. And number three, with reversals, if you pull a card and it is reversed, then it could mean that the energy is weak in that card. So just as an example here, if you pulled the Death card, which is the 13th card in the Major Arcana, upright, it means that change is coming. You know, there are going to be some serious endings and some new beginnings. But if it were in the reverse position, then it means that there's still going to be some change, but it's going to be quite minimal because, again, we're going off the idea here that the reversal means it's weakened, the energy is weakened in the card. So again, the change would be minimal, or it's going to, you know, take longer for things to change. In other words, it's gradual change. You can choose how you want to approach reversals. That's the thing. You attribute the definitions. Once you do that and you tell the tarot, this is what this card means for me, then the tarot knows. Okay? So again, you are the captain of the ship. You are the one who's in control, and you are the one who is attributing and defining all the meanings. Now, I want to take you on the Fool's Journey. If you have been studying the tarot a long time, you understand what the Fool's Journey is. If not, then this will be completely new to you. So remember earlier how I said in the Major Arcana, you have the card of the Fool, which is number zero. So there's no real placement in the deck for him or her, right? But there is this narrative of the journey of the Fool that is, I think, representative of the journey of life for everyone. We are all, quote unquote, the Fool, even though the word the Fool can have a complete negative connotation. That's not what it really means here. So from my take, the Fool's Journey is the journey of the spirit descending into the world of matter. This is exactly how I approach the tarot. So as the Fool, which is he or she, as the Fool moves through the world, they encounter a number of experiences which are really just lessons to eventually help you remember your true identity and inevitably return to wholeness, which is the journey of enlightenment. So let's kick this off by first talking about the Fool. So the Fool is the card of new beginnings. On this journey, the Fool is optimistic. Perhaps he looks a little aloof, certainly quite innocent and pure in the card. and most likely completely unaware of the trials that he or she is going to have to encounter on this perilous journey called life in the three-dimensional world. Again, the Fool is number zero, which is the number of infinite potential. If we actually look at the card, we see that the sun is blazing above, and he's also holding a white rose. And to me, white roses symbolize purity, which is likely speaking to the character of the Fool in this card. So this card is overall quite positive. It has positive energy, and if you ever pull this, it's usually indicative of some sort of new beginnings, new journey that you're about to go on. Something great, okay? Not negative. However, I do want to say, if you take a look at the card more closely, you do see that there are some snow-capped mountains as well in this card, which to me signals that there's going to be some mountains to climb on this journey. All right. The key words for this card in particular are new beginnings, optimism, leap of faith, innocence, or even a new journey here. The reversals could indicate recklessness, perhaps being naive, perhaps immaturity, or that you are actually being the traditional fool as we define it in a situation. Next, we're going to move on to the Magician. So on his journey, the Fool first encounters the Magician. And the Magician is the first card, so it's numbered one. The Magician in the card is positioned standing behind a table which contains all the tools necessary for the Fool's journey. Note that these tools are all the suits of the Minor Arcana, and again, those being the Wands, the Pentacles, the Cups, and the Swords. These are, I think, the tools that are in the little bag that the Fool is carrying in the Fool card, which are yet to be utilized by him or her. So the Magician is dressed in red and white, and to me that embodies the marriage of spirit and matter. He holds a wand above him, presumably it's to the heavens, activating the principle of as above, so below, meaning that he applies universal laws of creation or the universal laws of manifestation to the world of matter in order to create here in the physical world. So the Magician represents masculine power or the active principle. Through our individual will, through our individual power and our concentration, we can affect the physical world. We can create, utilizing these manifestation laws, if you will, here in this world. This card also, it refers to our own individual talents that we possess already that will enable us to succeed on the journey, you know, if we use the proper tools in the proper way. So if you notice in the card, the Magician is wearing a snake that's biting its own tail, and there's also an infinity symbol that's over his head. And these are the symbols that again indicate infinite potential here. So you kind of see this trend from the Fool going through the Magician of infinite potential, because the Fool already is the number zero, but yet you kind of see this symbology carry through to the next card, reminding the Fool, right, that okay, yes, you just got here and you do have unlimited possibilities. There's infinite potential for you to create what it is that you want. So this is kind of the first lesson that he learns coming here to the physical world. So remember, to create anything in this world, your intentions have to be clear. This is also what the Magician is trying to teach the Fool. If there's something that you really want to manifest and you pull this card, then the Magician is saying to you, you can do it. But make sure your intentions are very clear, realize your potential to succeed, and then take the necessary steps to do so. The magic is already inside of you. And magic is defined as the science and the art of causing change to occur and conformity with the will. This is not my definition, but it is the definition of Aleister Crowley, which most people don't like to hear, but I think it's one of the best definitions of magic. All right, some of the keywords for this card are skill, manifestation, talent, power, resource, and concentration. So if this was in a reversed position, it may indicate that you have some talents that have yet to surface. Perhaps at this moment, whatever it is you are trying to create may require some more planning, or maybe that you already are talented, but you're not necessarily putting them to good use. It also, of course, can indicate that perhaps at this moment, all of the tools are not yet available to create something, okay? Let's look at the numerological aspect of this card. Since the magician is the number one, ones are all about individuality. Ones are natural leaders, they are very independent spirits, but ones are also about new beginnings and about being very goal-oriented. All right, we are gonna move on to the High Priestess, which is the last card that we are gonna discuss this week. I feel like this is a lot of information. So on his journey, the Fool then encounters the High Priestess or the Papess. So as the magician was the active principle, the creative power principle, if you will, the High Priestess is the passive principle. In this card, the High Priestess sits in front of a tapestry of pomegranates, which is the symbol of the soul's immortality in Zoroastrianism. She is seated between two pillars, black and white, with the letters B and J, which stands for Boaz and Yakin. And we can assume that the High Priestess is residing in the legendary Temple of Solomon, because at the entrance to the Temple of Solomon, there were bronze pillars which were named Boaz, which means in him is strength, and Yakin, which means God establishes or God found. So according to Rachel Pollack, in her book, 78 Degrees of Wisdom, to her, Boaz equals passivity and the Yakin equals action plus consciousness. Now, if you look at the pillars, the letters carry the reverse indications. So there's a white B and a black J. The letters signify that according to her, duality, and remember, this is the number two card, that duality is an illusion and each extreme carries the other embedded inside of it. So if you were to take a look at the card, like I told you again, there's two pillars, there's black and white, but the letters are different colors or the opposite colors on the pillars, right? All right, so the High Priestess represents the mysterious subconscious as opposed to the conscious awareness of the magician. If you take a look at the card, you can tell that she is the guardian of hidden knowledge. The High Priestess is holding a book that reads Torah, which is the Jewish law. But if you look closer, it's half covered up and it's actually spelled incorrectly. Many people say that it's actually an anagram for the tarot. Since the Torah is partially concealed, it actually may imply that there is knowledge that is being hidden from us. The cross on her chest symbolizes the balance between the four elements: air, earth, fire, and water. And the crescent moon at her foot, it symbolizes the divine feminine, intuition, and again, the subconscious. And the crown on her head likely implies that she holds the position of a goddess. The lesson for the Fool here is that all may not be what it seems, and that you have to learn how to trust your own intuition, or at least tune into your intuition for understanding. Intuition is a mysterious guiding force that we all must tune into for understanding. The traditional way of solving a problem isn't always going to work. So, in other words, instead of using logic and reason to understand or to solve a problem, it's necessary to tap into the inner voice for help and guidance. So when the Fool moves from the magician, where he encounters the creative energy and learns creation through physical manifestation, he then encounters the High Priestess, which offers another perspective. So now that we know that she's concerned with
intuition and occult systems of knowledge. The fool learns that there is another approach to managing the problems of the world, to react very differently to the problems of the world. Namely, she's trying to tell the fool that it's necessary to do what? Meditate or go within, which will provide an opportunity to gain different knowledge from a different realm. So she is the teacher of, if you want to call it, the teacher of the occult, the teacher of the hidden. She is also the teacher of a new way of understanding, which is the intuitive way. So it's like a new way of seeing. This is the lesson that she has for the fool. So think about it. As he progresses through all of these keys or opens up each doors, he'll see the person behind the door and they offer another lesson to give to the person, which is you. The key words for this card are intuition, hidden knowledge, inner truth, mystery. In the reverse position, it can usually 99.9% of the time, it means that you're not listening to your own intuition and that you really need to shut up and meditate so you can go within and find the answers that are already there, or that you know what the truth is. Maybe you're just not willing to listen or admit it to yourself. Okay, I think that you'll find that probably in every book, that that's probably the meaning of the reversal. Okay, so in numerology, the High Priestess is the number two. And twos are all about duality. They can also be about partnership and about making decisions in the tarot. But in this case, it is really about the dual nature of the self, which is the inner and the outer, right? So if you think about it, the Magician is kind of like the outer self. And then you have the High Priestess, which is more so focused on the inner self. And I think a message from the High Priestess in this case would be that to understand the true nature of the physical sometimes, you know, how things are seemingly working, you do need to go within to understand how things are really working. So, just to reiterate, if these cards come up for you time and time again, there are lessons for your soul's growth at this time. If you've been getting the Magician quite often, no matter what, if it just flies out of your deck, if you are someone who's been working with the deck often, your cards probably just fly out now. That means that, hey, if the Magician keeps coming, you need to kind of learn how to use the tools that you have to create what it is that you've been really wanting. To really understand and realize your talent and really what it takes to create here. That's a lesson for you. Or perhaps if you've been getting the High Priestess quite often, it means that, okay, you are now coming into a cycle that is going to force you to learn about the intuitive world. That's going to force you in some way to learn about the occult for understanding. And I know I'm using the word force and I probably shouldn't, but there are going to be consistent, recurrent opportunities to learn these lessons. You will either encounter people, situations, or have experiences where these themes keep coming up time and time again. All right, that's the whole point of the journey. It's to learn. And everybody's journey is very specific. There is an education here that is specific to you, for you, for your growth, that's independent of everybody else, even though this is a collective journey, right? We all help each other out. But there are certain lessons that your soul chose. So therefore, I may be going through the lesson of karma, while you might be going through the lesson of, let's just say, patience. So if you've been getting the Temperance card for like 3 years, well, good God, learn the lesson of patience, please. I really hope that this has been helpful for you all. I know it's a lot of information to digest, but if you're going to follow along and you're just learning, I highly recommend that you spend the week meditating, maybe once a day on the Fool, maybe once a day on the High Priestess, maybe the next day on the Magician, and then journal your understanding of the card. Journal what you have seen in meditation with the cards. And if you want to know what to do, how to meditate with the card? Well, just hold the card in your hand. This is going to sound very, very silly, but after you've kind of, you know, cleared your energy and put up your bubble of protection, hold the tarot card in your hand and talk to it. In my personal experience, the tarot is alive and well. It is very reactive, and it is a divination tool that you are working with for understanding. So it has a lot to share with you, and it will work with you if you are open to it. So by holding the tarot card and asking, you know, teach me the lesson in this card, show me, you know, help me find the appropriate guidance in this card, and then close your eyes and wait for the image to appear, or if you're clairaudient, wait for the message to come through. You can also sleep with the card under your pillow, not the entire deck, just the one card, and ask it to come into your dreams to teach you. This is another way that will enhance the messages of the cards, and again, help you build your own meaning, which is what we all kind of do after using the deck over a number of years. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope this was super helpful. Next week, I will be covering the Empress, the Emperor, and the Hierophant. Everyone, please have a great week and take care of yourself. Bye-bye.